town. I grew up believing God keeps his eye on us.
It's always a fun time when my next guest stops by. He is a tour guide, a digital creator, a murder mystery host, a comic, and an all-around man about town. Welcome back to the radio program, Pocono Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Thank you. Good morning. Yeah, it's great to be here.
It's great to see you again.
Thank you.
Were you born in the area?
I wasn't. No, I was actually born in New York, believe it or not, like most people that live here now.
But, right.
Yeah, but I spent a lot of time here growing up with friends that have had houses up here and summer houses and you know, and then I moved up here a while back, and I've been here ever since. So.
Did you go to summer camp here, or
no? Just friends that had that were from New York and New Jersey that had houses up here, and you know, would come up and visit all the time. This was the country. This was the place to come. You know,
I hear it over and over again. Yeah. Transplants from New Jersey.
Oh,
New
yeah.
York. My Little Town, brought to you by St. Luke's Monroe Campus and St. Luke's University Health Network. They're online with a great website, SLUHN.org. What does Pocono Joe do during the wintertime? The trolley tours won't be happening again until spring.
I try to stay as busy as I can. We've been doing a lot of murder mystery shows, so we have those to fall back on, which is nice.
Do you write those scripts or do you buy those scripts?
Yeah, no, we write them all.
Yeah, you write them all?
Yeah, we've been doing it. We're the longest running murder mystery in the area. We've been doing comedy even before that. We started out as an improv troupe, and we kind of quickly moved into the whole murder mystery realm, and we've been having a lot of fun with that. But we also do, you know, stand-up and different types of things like that as well. But the murder mysteries are definitely a lot of fun. They get people kind of either energized or upset, you know. That's the goal. Like our last one we had was a Valentine's show, and it was love versus lust. And I was Reverend Love, and then we have a Dr. Know-It-All. And Dr. Know-It-All, he's my partner, Marty Correnti, and he's a kind of a polarizing figure. He's somebody you love to hate. And by the end of the show, they hate him and they want him dead, which is good because occasionally he will die and we'll have to solve a murder. So
he's the antagonist.
He is. He definitely is. Yes.
Now, do people win prizes at these
things? They do, yeah. They win prizes. We have some giveaways, shirts, and mugs that we give out. But we also usually have a, whatever restaurant we have, they're usually gracious enough to give a gift certificate. So that's what we did this last time. And we're going to be at Allegheny Brewery, which is out in Mount Bethel. We're going to be back there again for a St. Patrick's Day show on March 9th. So that's a fun show.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, Joe.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, everything's kind of a little kooky, a little crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
What are you hearing about Delaware Water Gap? I know Congressman, Matt Cartwright is on a case now trying to get 611 back open, but what a pain in the neck, huh?
Yeah, it's a sad situation because, honestly, there's really no difference than the last time I was here. Everything's still closed. The only thing is that they're losing more and more patients, and they're losing more and more businesses. You have Asparagus Sunshine, who Lauren Chamberlain, she was probably the biggest supporter of Delaware Water Gap, and now she's closed. And she had two stores there, and she did a lot for the town and did a lot to promote the town. And, there's a lot of great things still there. You have the Castle Inn and all the shops there and the tours at the castle. And then you have the oldest jazz club in the United States, oldest operating jazz club is still there, the Deerhead Inn. The Mystical Mug, which is a great little coffee shop. A lot of people kind of miss it. It's actually part of the Castle Inn. It's down the block in what used to be the Castle Inn Carriage House. So they would keep all the carriages there and Model Ts there and whatever, and that would be the garage for it. And now
this
it's
is separate from the main building.
Yeah, it's separate. It's kind of down towards between the Castle Inn and down towards the Sycamore Grill. And it's right there. It's an amazing little coffee shop. She does amazing things for the town. She's always having an event. She did a full moon event recently. There's always Halloween things going on there during the Halloween season. Like, whatever it is, she's got something going on, which is really nice.
When you do these trolley tours at the Delaware Water Gap, what are people most interested in hearing and learning about?
Well, I think, honestly, they don't realize the significance of the Delaware Water Gap and how it played in bringing people into Pennsylvania and putting people on vacation because we were the number two tourist destination in the nation. So I think that's what.
Hold on. Now I have to name the number one.
Yeah.
Hold on. Is it Saratoga?
It is. Saratoga Springs. Yeah.
Right. Saratoga Springs. It was back then.
Yeah, we get a lot of people that, you know, we're a timeshare area now, so we have a lot of different timeshares in the area, and one of them, there's timeshares up in Saratoga Springs, and people will go from up there to down here. There's also a lot of RVs and things like that. We obviously have very outdoorsy areas as well as up that way, so we get a lot of people come here from there or go up there afterwards. So it still kind of stays with the history, but I think that's the one thing people don't realize when they come in is where that history all started from and where we are now.
Well, there was a lot of hotels up and down that river, right?
There were 50, like there were about 60 actually smaller ones. There's about 50 of the houses left now. A lot of them burnt down to the fire, and that's really why none of the Delaware Water Gap hotels are there anymore. And the only one left is really the Castle Inn.
Yeah, right.
But all the other ones burnt down, and now some of them are some of the lookouts, which is great, but you can't get to them because the road is closed.
Well, it's a bit overgrown too on those lookouts.
Yeah,
you can't really look out at anything.
No, I mean some of them are better than others. Yeah. I don't know if you know about the. Do you know about the Cold Air Cave?
Tell me about that.
The Cold Air Cave is amazing.
How do you get to that?
You got
to
go through the national park in that direction. So the area that's closed, unfortunately, but you go down that way, and there was a little convenience store, and it's a cave. And what they did was they built a structure in front of it. They captured all that cold air. They ran one of the mountain springs in through the cave. And that is how they basically refrigerated. So they were able to drop the cave temperature from 52 degrees to 37. So it made it nice and cool in there. And that's, by the way, how all of those hotels would actually refrigerate, too. They would actually run those mountain springs right into the kitchen.
Can you get to that or no? You can't get to that?
You could walk down that way. I don't know if it's any easier to get through from the Portland direction, but it's difficult now because of the road closure.
Where would you park if you wanted to discover
that? You would park right in front of it. You could actually park. There's a little, because that's where you would park. You would park there. You would get out. You'd go inside to get your milk and your cheese and whatever you needed, and you'd be on your way. So there is a little bit of space, and people do park there and go hiking, or they did when it was open. But nowadays, I think you'd have to probably hike down that way. It's kind of a distance.
Pocono Joe, my special guest this morning on My Little Town, brought to you by St. Luke's University Health Network. I'm telling you, think they could get one lane open, Joe?
That's the plan.
By spring, let's hope.
Yeah, I mean, there's $3.5 million sitting in an account waiting for the construction, and it's really at this point the National Park doesn't want to issue the permit. And because it goes through the National Park in that section that needs to be repaired, they need a permit. And I think in October they met with them again, and they tried to get things, kind of settled, but they went back. They had to draw some new plans up, and again, we're sitting in the same boat we have been.
They've been meeting in Matt Cartwright's office. I think they're going to have another meeting this month. But, man, a lot of people are hurting over that. So what else is a highlight of the trolley tour? Can you point other stuff out?
Nowadays, the trolley goes actually – I think what's really great is because it is construction or lack of construction, you can't go down. So it used to be a two-minute or five-minute train by car or trolley. Now you kind of got to go all the way around. So if you do the actual detour, it's about a half hour. But it's a beautiful detour. So we do the detour now. We go into New Jersey. The trolley goes into Portland. It'll spend a couple minutes in Portland with some of the shops there, because there are, believe it or not, there are some shops that are still open.
Oh, the chocolate place.
The chocolate place.
Nikolai, is that his name?
Yeah, Nikolai and Anna. And they, Alexandra, they are amazing. Their chocolate is amazing. They're lucky because they've been on the news. They've got a lot of, they've been on CNN. They've been on Good Morning America, shows like that. So they get a lot of people that seek them out. They do a lot of weddings and stuff like that. But then there's a thrift shop there that's amazing. And
a new restaurant over there, too.
Yeah, it is. Port to Flavors.
Right.
You have like all kinds of really cool things in there. And then the views are just amazing in that area. And Portland did something this year that was amazing, was that they actually were able to do a Founders Day celebration. Even with everything shut down, they actually had this whole big Founders Day celebration with all free music. They had the Native Americans come in doing their band, and they had all these other bands throughout town. And if you walked or drove through town, you got to really see what the town was like. And I think it's great that they were able to do something like that.
But Mayor Fisher is doing a lot in,
She's a big supporter of
PA. We've got to take a quick break, all right? And then come back. Pocono Joe, my special guest this morning, My Little Town, brought to you by St. Luke's University Health Network.
When preparing breakfast, it's important that you have quality ingredients. That includes fresh egg, bacon or sausage, and most importantly, your radio.
Gary C. in the morning on Poco 103.
Hanging out here with Pocono Joe this morning, tour guide, man about town, an extraordinary fixture here. In the, who gave you that name, Pocono Joe?
You know, everybody kind of wants to say they gave me the name. I don't know where it originally came from. Really, I think originally when I first moved up here, you know, people kind of knew I knew the area a little bit more than a lot of even locals did. And I was fairly new. But like I said, I've been coming up here a lot of my life. So that's how I knew a lot of the area. So people would just say, hey, he's Pocono Joe. And and it stuck.
There's a lot of talk about this train coming in. And what do you know about it? There used to be a train that came through here that connected to NYC.
We did, for years. I mean, we had the train that came up from Philadelphia as well. So we were coming from different directions, but now there's nothing at all. Yeah. So Amtrak shut down the train from New York City back in 70 or 71, and they wanted to just discontinue the line. They use it for freight now, but it's not passenger service anymore. So going into New Jersey, all the passenger lines that came in off that, they actually gave it all back, all that right away. They gave that back to the farmers in New Jersey. So the farmers all dismantled it because they didn't need a train coming through their yard. You know, if it wasn't coming, they didn't need the tracks there. So they just dismantled it. So that's part of the problem is now you have everything dismantled. But I talked to people who are in the train industry, and they tell me even if they were still up at this point, you'd want to redo it.
Right.
And I think Pennsylvania's looking to there's all kinds of grants now, and a lot of this is coming from a couple of things. Number one, Amtrak doesn't, if you looked at their footprint from 1970 and you looked at it today, essentially when they shut the train down, it's the same exact footprint, with the exception of a minor line in New York. You kind of have the same exact footprint. So what they're doing is they want to increase their footprint, but it's easy now because there's all this grant money. And all since COVID, all this grant money has come in.
Yeah.
So there's all this money, not only here in the Poconos, but also throughout the United States to develop these other rail projects. And that's going on right now. So the state of Pennsylvania, some of it's federal money, a lot of it's federal money, but some of it's also matching with local money. So Pennsylvania has, I forget how many million it is, but they've donated several million to make sure it's going to be high-speed rails and ties that'll go between New York and Scranton. So that's a really good thing. We seem to have a lot of our work done on our side because, you know, we've been wanting to have it since they closed it, basically.
Yeah, but they're going to have to build a depot in East Stroudsburg, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the track side now.
That's the goal is to build a depot there, correct, exactly. Which is really one of the first areas that Dansbury Depot there, that's one of the first areas that people came in when trains started coming in. So it goes back to that history, which is great. But we also had the Phoebe Snow, which is not a singer. Well, it is a singer, but the Phoebe Snow.
She was. I don't know if she's still with us. She was.
No, she passed away a few years ago.
Right. But there's something called Phoebe Snow Way that I see up near the Cresco area. Yes. The shop right up there.
Yeah.
It's close to that.
And that's because we had the trains up there also. We had a station up in Tobyhanna, Cresco, and Mount Pocono. And they're going to have one come back to the Mount Pocono. The plans keep changing, but the plan now is to have East Stroudsburg, Mount Pocono, and Scranton.
So who or what originally was Phoebe Snow?
It was a train.
It was a train called Phoebe Snow?
It was an anthracite coal train. So at that point, anthracite was called the new coal. That was the clean burning coal. So the Phoebe Snow, and they developed this whole character around it. Phoebe Snow was this woman who was very clean and very, very dapper. And she just, did not get dirty. And that's because the train train was a much cleaner burning train. So you didn't have all that soot that would normally come out burning regular coal. The anthracite was definitely a lot cleaner. And that's where the Phoebe Snow name originally came from.
Does the singer have anything to do with this
story? No, she just liked the name. I think she liked the advertisements and things like that. I think at some point Downey might have even got in with some of those advertisements to kind of tie their products in with it as well. The Phoebe Snow was a train. It went from New York City to eventually went to Buffalo. Once it got out of our area, went up into New York and went that way. But
wow.
Yeah, that was a big train that came through this area here. And there are some, Phoebe Snow was the name, but I guess there were several locomotives they used for it. And some of those are even still in use today, or they were up until the mid-2020s anyways.
When you bring back the trolley tours in the spring, you're going to be doing specialty rides for wine drinkers and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have the wine tours are always going on. So we have wine trolleys, we have private tours, we do weddings on the trolleys also. There's a lot going on with those, but the wine tours are definitely the most fun.
Is that right?
Yeah, if you're looking for a fun tour, that wine tour, I mean, don't get me wrong, the historical tours are amazing. You learn so much about the history. I always say you learn more about the history of the Poconos than you ever wanted to know. But but the wine tours, people come back and you'll have people from all over the country just kind of converging and nobody knowing each other. And by the end of the tour, they're all friends.
Do you stop at wineries? Is that how that works?
Yeah, and there's so many great wineries here. I mean, a lot of people know the big ones like Blue Ridge and things like that. But you have Renegade, which is right here on Main Street. You have Eagle's Rest, which is right down in the Delaware, Water Gap, Stroudsburg area, right down the road from the studio here. So many great ones. And then all of Main Street is just amazing with just the pubs and the new breweries that are popping up. And
a lot of new breweries.
Yeah.
Are those trolleys in decent shape?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so they're not the original. So I guess originally when the original company that had come in, they had trolleys that were actual trolleys that were used on the tracks, and they converted them over to drivable trolleys, which had to be a really big feat. You know, if you think about that. But these trolleys are all made for driving. These were created as drivable trolleys.
Do people make reservations for these
trolleys? Yeah. They could go online to PoconoDayTripper.com and they can make rides. It's seriously recommended to do reservations because especially as the weather gets nicer, everybody wants to ride the trolley.
Right. I understand they're dog friendly too, right?
They are, yeah.
I can bring Lewis on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Come anytime. We have a lot of people bring their dogs on, some of them service dogs, some of them just their regular dogs. But, it's an open air trolley, so it's a nice ride through the area, especially on a nice, beautiful day. If you really get all that air coming in, it's really nice.
Is it just on the weekends you do them or?
It'll start off in the weekends as we, as it's still a little bit colder. And then as it gets busier up here and the weather gets nicer, then it'll go all the time.
What's the first weekend for that? Springtime? April?
Yeah, usually in March. So as the weather, the next couple of weeks, as the weather starts getting nicer, we'll start running more and more of those.
Last time you were on, I was fascinated by this fact that vaccines were actually born here in the Pocono area.
Yeah.
On the location that eventually became Sanofi, correct?
Correct, yeah.
What was it, the Pocono Soap Company or something over there?
Well, no, it was Dr. Richard Slee. He was
Richard Slee.
Yeah, so you had two doctors. You had Dr. Slee, who was the doctor that founded Sanofi, and then you had the other doctor who was at the candle shop at the Poconos. Now, that is a candle shop now. That's what you're probably thinking of. They do tours in the basement. That's an amazing candle shop.
Take you down to the basement.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful building. I mean, if you walk around the building, you look at this building, it was built in 1897 on a Native American Indian burial ground, by the way. You just walk around it. And first of all, if it was just a building there, it would be an amazing looking building. The architecture is just amazing as you walk around. And it doesn't look like it was built in 1897. I mean, the architecture does, but it's in such good shape. You walk around, you see all the candles and everything, and that really puts you in a good mood. But once you find out about the history and you go downstairs, It's really kind of crazy everything that they did there. So they're doing the experiments down in the basement on monkeys because they couldn't use humans, so they used monkeys. And those monkeys still haunt the place, and it is still haunted. Believe me, I could tell you stories. They could all tell you stories there.
And this is not to be confused with the Pocono Soap Company on 7th Street.
On 7th Street. They're great.
That's the Deemer's place. You're talking about the candle? What is it actually called?
It's the candle shop at the Poconos.
And what town is that in? Would you call that?
It's in Scott. Swiftwater. It's Swiftwater.
All right.
Yeah, I always get those two towns confused because they're always right next to each other. Yeah. But it's in Swiftwater. Now, yes, they did some amazing things with vaccines. But a lot of people don't realize is that we have another history to vaccines, the polio vaccine. Now, the polio vaccine wasn't created here. It was created in Pittsburgh by Dr. Salk, right? Jonas Salk.
Jonas Salk.
But he used a Poconos product. He used the blender, the Waring blender. So Fred Waring had not created a blender, but marketed it. Somebody had brought it to him. There was a blender from 1922 that was being sold, but it wasn't as powerful as this one. So Waring, somebody brought it to him, and Waring saw the potential in it, and he sold the heck out of it. He brought it to all the bars. He was on the road.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing.
Yeah, he was on the road even up until his death, doing like 40,000 miles on the road every year as a performer. So that's a lot of miles to do even at the end of your career.
And he was selling blenders after
that. And that's what he would do. As he was on the road, they'd go to all the different bars, all the musicians when they were in New York City. They'd stop into Macy's and they'd do little presentations on it. And then the celebrities. Fred always had one in his dressing room. So he made drinks for all of his celebrity friends.
Right.
And I don't know if it was Salk particularly, but a lot of people in the scientific community were asking him to make one that was stainless steel and something that could be used in that kind of environment. And he did, and Salk used it to create the polio vaccine.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So the blenders were born into Poconos.
Yeah.
And Dr. Salk used one of these blenders to make the polio vaccine.
He did. So even though the polio vaccine was not created here, it still was created with a piece of our history. So.
Right. We'll take another quick break here. Joe, stick around one more segment.
Awesome.
All right. This is My Little Town, brought to you by St. Luke's University Health Network Monroe Campus. They're online. They got a great website. SLUHN.org.
Rodriguez.
And I'm Gary C., hanging out with Pocono Joe here in My Little Town, brought to you by St. Luke's University Health Network. You know, if somebody was coming out of the area to spend a weekend in the Poconos, I would suggest that they go to Big Pocono. First of all, that big mountain. You've been up there, right? What a view that is.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And where else would you send a
tourist? Well, the first thing I would say is go to PoconoMountains.com. That's the Pocono Mountain Visitors Bureau. Go on that website. I've answered this question a lot to people. I tell them, go to that website. That's the first thing I say, because number one, you can put in your dates in there and you'll see everything that's going on, all the different events going on. We have the this Saturday the 24th, it's the last Saturday for it, but we have the snowmen still here. Last weekend they did the ice carving and stuff. So there's always something going on in the area. So if you go to the PoconoMountains.com website, you could search your dates, like I said, and everything will come up on what's going on. And there's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, the website's great.
It is.
Chris does such a great job.
Oh, yeah. There's just so, I mean, first of all, everything they do for the community is amazing. But there's just so much on there between videos exactly what is going on for the date you want to come. They even have Airbnbs on there, so people are looking to stay in Airbnbs. Or you could even search just regular hotels and availability on there, too. But the biggest thing for it is the events. You put in your dates, like I said, and everything comes up what's going on. Mm-hmm. But you could see exactly a map of the area. Poconos is pretty vast. We have Carbon County, we have Pike County, we have Monroe County, and it's a huge, huge area. So people get confused, especially when they're trying to book a reservation. No matter where you are in the Poconos, there is stuff going on.
All right. What else you got, Joe? I know you brought some notes. And any last
Any last notes you want to share? Well, we have the farmer's markets going on. That's something here in Courthouse Square.
Right.
I think they do such a great thing in the Stroudsburg area here. And the Courthouse Square does the farmer's market every Saturday. And I've got fresh mushrooms from New Jersey. It's hard to find mushrooms around here. You can find a lot of honey. A lot of people are raising bees and stuff. But mushrooms are hard to find. So I go there and I really find some really great mushrooms.
There's a woman who shows up. She's got the kale, purple kale. I don't see that anywhere else, but, but she's got it. You'll see things over there you couldn't
see. Exactly. Yeah, I forget what it's called. There's they sell fiddlesticks, and I forget the other thing that it's called that I've gotten before. And just amazing, and it's fresh, and all from the area here, which is great. So I love that. Like you said, outdoorsy, there's so many different things. There's the bog walks coming up in the spring. Yep. You know, we really start opening up in the spring. You know, in the fall, we have so many great fall activities. In the winter, we have all the different tubing and things like that. But a lot of the outdoor stuff is not going on yet. But now that the spring is coming in, there's going to be so much more of the outdoor stuff going on. And Delwood Water Gap does a lot. Stroudsburg does a lot. You could even go out to Barrett Township, you know, even places that are kind of off the beaten path, you still have things to do over there. Barrett Township, which is kind of hidden, there's a lot of great shops. You have Callie's Candy Factory up there. They used to have the pretzel factory also, where they made the pretzels. That was a lot of fun. So there's a lot of things no matter where you go. Jim Thorpe is a beautiful area. Wow. So if you go to the PoconoManagers.com website, I can't say enough about it. You can go in there, do all kinds of research on what you want to see. They even have a section on the heart-shaped tubs and the champagne glasses and all that, what made the Poconos in the past. But everything now that's going on in the Poconos is just amazing. And once the spring comes along, there's going to be a lot of outdoor things.
You are quite an ambassador for this area, Joe. You know everything there is about the Poconos.
I love the area. It's beautiful.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. Let's hope that 611 gets open soon.
Yes.
Sooner than later, for goodness sakes. And thanks to St. Luke's Monroe Campus. St. Luke's University Health Network is online at sluhn.org. They are the sponsor of My Little Town. Pocono Joe, thanks a million.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks. Okay.